North Rock Podcast.
Oh, good morning, North Rock. How are we this morning? Are we good? Yeah, can you hear me? Awesome. Hey, I have the privilege in our service today of doing a couple of things. The first is to say what a great thing it is when good news is met with the good works that Jesus does through his body. Amen? Isn't that a cool thing that we participate in with the Operation Christmas Child every year? The other thing that I get to do today is to put a turn signal on for you, okay? The next week, we are going to be starting a new series called Thankful, and I get to be the leadoff hitter for that one. So I'm really looking forward to the word that's stirring in my spirit for that. But for today, what I get the opportunity to do is introduce to you a friend of mine, a friend of ours, actually, because Jeff Maloney has been a part of North Rock Church for the better part of this past year. But before that, he was a church planter. He's been a Foursquare pastor for years and years and years. Him and his wonderful wife, Elizabeth, have been a part of Jody and I's kind of life for over 20 years now. And so he is going to be sharing in our final message in this series, This We Believe, on the part where we talk about following Jesus in water baptism. So he's going to give us a great teaching on what it means to not only be baptized into who Jesus is and have that new life transformational moment, but also what it means to be a part of his body. So would you please give Jeff Maloney a warm North Rock welcome.
Good morning. Chad's probably a good fisherman because he makes stories sound so much bigger and better than they are. Yeah, I did. Yeah, well, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks. Pastor Andrew asked me to do this, and I said, hey, are you sure that's what you want? He said, yeah, that'll be fine. I said, are you sure? He said, yeah, that'll be fine. Then he said, I'm not going to be there anyway. So I said, Andrew, thanks for the vote of confidence. No, I'm grateful to be here. And let's pray before we look at the word together. God, we just want to echo the words of David today where he said, open my eyes that I might see wondrous things from your word. Open our hearts, God, so we can receive today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I've got a clicker. Sorry, I should be prepared. It's on? All right. Now, on one of these slides, I'm going to skip and come back to it because when I turned this outline into Andrew for publication, it wasn't quite developed. So I'm switching the order of something. It's not their problem. It's not, and it was my own, but I think we'll do fine. This is the last part of that declaration that we pray each week. I dedicate myself to following you in water baptism. When a person hears and believes the message of the gospel, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. When a person receives forgiveness for their sins, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I like this one. When they respond to the knock on the door of their heart, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and dine with him and he with me. The most important next step they can take is to be baptized in water. Today we're going to look at two scriptures that reveal that importance, and one at the end of Jesus' ministry and one at the very beginning. We're going to start with the one at the end. And I read from New King James. I hope that doesn't throw you off. Again, Andrew, who's not here, said it would be fine. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always even to the end of the age. The background to this passage, it's in Matthew 28, is that Jesus is at the very end of his time on earth. He had come, he had lived, he had ministered, he had died, he had been buried, he'd risen from the dead, and was preparing to ascend back into heaven. We all know the importance of last words. How many of you watch movies? Have you seen the ones, the many, where the wounded guy is on the verge of death and he's got to spit out that one last thing and he gets it out and it makes everyone, and just everything's great after that. He tells them just what they need to hear. Or the ones where they're on their, you know, the deathbed and they're trying to say it and they're trying to say it and they can't. And everyone's left hanging like, what is this important thing you wanted to say? I have a favorite author. His name is Ron Mill. Familiar? Great books. He was a pastor in Oregon for many years, Foursquare pastor, and I just love to read his stuff. I've got one of his books. It's called Just in Case I Can't Be There. And it was a book that someone said, you have got to, you've got to print this, you've got to publish it. And it stemmed from a book that he wrote for his two sons. He said the book that he wrote with the smallest printing ever was a quantity of two. He wrote a book just for them. And he had it printed, he had it encased in leather, and their names were embossed in gold on this thing. And it was the words of his heart to his kids. He said, these are things that I've got to know that you know. And then someone heard about that and said, man, we all need this stuff. Write a normal book. And so he did. It's called Just in Case I Can't Be There. Ron was diagnosed with leukemia. And it ended up taking his life, like, you know, 25 years later. And he lived with that shadow for all those years. But he made sure that his sons had the book. Made sure his sons knew what he wanted to impart to them. When Jesus spoke these last words before he ascended into heaven, you know, it's important stuff. He wanted his disciples to know. I'm counting on you. This is a big deal. People call it the Great Commission. If you look up synonyms, you could say it's the prominent instruction or the important assignment or the big deal. This was the big deal. And I always think of, you know, going and making disciples, but Jesus attaches to that, baptize them. Make disciples, baptize them, teach them. It's all there, it's all important. And now the segments of the church call baptism a holy sacrament. It's a sacred thing that Jesus ordained. You know, when Melissa was talking about baptism, she was doing a good job. I was kind of thinking she should just keep on going. It's a sacred thing. All right, this is where we skip ahead. Is that all right? Don't look at that, we'll come back. I'm gonna hang on a second. I was Googling. Whenever I prepare, I figure I'd get on the internet, see what people have to say. And I'm looking up the definition for following. Because who wrote the declaration that we pray each week? Sorry. I'm not trying to move. Well, whoever did a good job, because there's a word in there that says, I dedicate myself to following him in baptism. And it struck me that it's more than just I agreed to be baptized. Instead, it's I dedicate myself to following him in water baptism. And so I was Googling following. What does it mean to follow? And it can be a couple things. It can be sequential, where someone goes first and then you follow after them. You know, they precede you. Or it can be, you know, metaphorical, to imitate, to mirror, to treat as a guide, to take as a pattern or an example. That's what we're doing when we follow him in baptism. Okay, where was I? So while I was Googling, what I found was, you can, how many of you have a Facebook page? How many of you know what Facebook is? Okay. This is where, how many of you log on to Facebook once a month? Is that really, that's all? Just a few? How many once a week? How many once a day? How many do it at work? Don't do it, Nori James. You know, I'm not a big Facebook person. I log on every now and then. I think the last time I posted, I had a grandkid. She's going to be 2 next month. I think I get my daughter and I say, show me how to put a picture of Lissy on here. And so she does it, and that was my you know, post for the year or 2 years. Maybe I said Merry Christmas last year. I don't remember. But she'll be on, and she'll say, Dad, do you want me to check your Facebook page? And I'll say, sure. And she'll go on, and she'll say, how long has it been? And I say, 3, 4 months, I don't know. And she goes, well, you have like 7 friend requests. And I say, who are they? And she tells me, so I said, I don't know him. So I don't know her. I don't know. And she says, well, your mutual friend, you know how this works? Click back. Well, you have a mutual friend who is, you know, so-and-so. Well, I don't know him. Well, you have a mutual friend. And so I know one person who knows someone who knows someone who knows someone who wants to be my friend. And I say, I don't know them. And she'll say, Dad, you have to accept. You have to follow because you'll hurt their feelings. Or because people, it's important to people to have a whole bunch of followers. It's important to have a whole bunch of friends. You'll hurt their feelings. And I say, hit the button. I don't care. So boop, she's accepting all my friends. And I don't know what she does with invitations or anything like that, but she does it all. So 3 or 4 months later, I log on. And there's all this stuff from people I don't know, and things that I don't care about, and some things that I don't want to see, and it goes, and it goes, and I'm just paging down saying, do I know any of these people? Do I care about any of this? And I tell Lacey, look what you've done to me. You have me following all these people, and none of it matters to me. And she says, well, unfollow them. I said, well, how do you do that without hurting their feelings? And that's where this comes in. What does it mean to unfollow someone on Facebook? When you unfollow someone, you won't see their posts in your news feed, but you'll still be friends with them. To unfollow a person, page, or group, click in the top right corner of Facebook, select news feed preferences, click unfollow, and hide their posts. So I'm going through there, click, click, click. Oh, actually, she's doing it for me, and I'm watching. And so what happens now is I log on, and I don't have all that stuff. I don't hear from them. I don't know what they're doing, and I don't care to know. Oh, dear. The good news is, when you unfollow them, you won't see their posts, but you will still be their friends. When they look at their list of friends, they're not saying, where the heck did Maloney go? That guy I don't know, my 7,000th friend. Because it still shows up that I'm there, but I'm not following. Okay. Baptism. I'll get this out of here so it doesn't distract Chad. Baptism literally means to dip, or to be immersed completely. When these people get baptized today, there is not going to be one part of them that is not wet. It all goes under. It's complete. Being baptized is being immersed in Jesus. Following him means we want it all. We want it all. The good stuff, the bad stuff, the hard stuff, the easy stuff, the feel-good stuff, and the, you know, whatever. When we're baptized into Christ, we say, we want it all, completely. I will follow everything you say. I want to hear it. I want to learn it. I want to experience. I don't want to miss a post on my page. I want it all. There's no room for us to pick and choose and say, you know, I'd like to be friends with Jesus. I'm just not sure that I want to hear everything. And there's no unfollowing. We're either following him or we're not. Baptism, following Jesus in baptism. Okay, now we're going back to the one I skipped. This is the second passage of Scripture. It's found in Matthew 3. The background of this is John. He's a relative of Jesus. You remember John? John was the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Elizabeth was related to Mary, who's the mother of Jesus. They were both pregnant at the same time. Zacharias was the one who was, told you were going to have a son, and you name your son John, and he goes, how can this be? And it happened. John was, Scripture says, filled with the Holy Spirit in his mom's womb, the point of conception. This is the one that when Mary was approached by the angel and said, Mary, blessed are you among women. I'm going to do something great in you. You're going to give birth to the King of the universe, to the Messiah. It's going to be miraculous. The Holy Spirit's going to do something in you. It's going to be great. And Mary says, okay, let it happen. And at one point in her pregnancy, she takes a trip to go see Elizabeth, because Elizabeth is having a miracle kid too. And when Mary cries out, when Elizabeth hears the greeting, John, being filled with the Holy Spirit as an infant, jumps in her womb. He says, this is what I'm here for. This is the one. This is my purpose. And so John spent his life preparing people for that moment when they hear from the Lord, when Jesus appears on their scene, when the Messiah comes. John is the one that Isaiah says, the voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. He was the man sent from God to bear witness of the light. He was the one who could point Jesus out and say, behold, the Lamb of God. This is the one who takes away the sin of the world. That was John. John was in a time of his ministry where he was calling the people of Israel to a time of repentance, a time of preparing for their Messiah to show up on the scene. He was the one saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And people were coming and they were being baptized by him and signifying their decision to prepare their heart for God to show up. So John's baptizing away. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then John allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What an event. When we follow Jesus in baptism, there's a few things that we experience and walk through. I'm going to touch on them, four of them really quick. First one. Pass that. There we go. When we follow Jesus in baptism, we live in humility. Jesus was humble. When we follow him, we walk in humility as well. Jesus came to John to be baptized. John tries to talk him out of it. John was the one in another gospel who said, "There is one coming whose sandals I am not even worthy to unstrap." John knew who he was, and he knew who Jesus was. And as great as John was, he still was humbled in Jesus' sight. He said, "You've got it backwards. I need to be baptized by you. You're the superior. I'm the inferior." Jesus was designed for God's highest honor. Jesus was designed for God's highest honor. And yet his first step was to go to someone lower than himself and say, "Will you baptize me? Can I surrender myself to you? Can I submit myself to you?" John said, "Yes, since it's you all, since you ask." It's kind of like Andrew asking me to preach. And I tried to turn him down, and he forced me. Philippians 2 says this about Jesus. "Being in the form of God, he did not consider it something to be held on to be equal to God. He humbled himself. And therefore, God highly exalted him." Humility positions us for blessing. This isn't a baptism story, but it's a humility story. It does involve dipping in water, can I tell you? Naaman, he's a Syrian leader way back when. Commander of the armies of Syria. He's a big and powerful guy. But he has leprosy. He also has a servant girl that they have captured from Israel who knew about the prophet in Israel. Was it Elijah or Elisha? I always forget. 2 Kings. He says, "Oh, it's too bad that my master does not know that there's a prophet in Israel. He could go there and be healed." And he catches wind of that and he says, "Man, I'm going." So he gets in his chariot with all his entourage, and they go and they find the prophet. And he says, "Hey, I'm here for you to heal me." Well, he's a big and powerful guy. He's got a nice chariot, and he's got all kinds of goods with him. It's a big deal. And the prophet sends out his servant and says, "Go tell him to dip in that river 7 times, and he'll be healed." So the servant runs out and says, "Well, the prophet says you should go dip in the water 7 times." And Naaman gets mad. "Don't you know who I am? Can't you see how I travel? Don't you see my entourage, my wealth, my power, my authority? And you're telling me to go dip in this dirty little river? Don't we have rivers where I'm from? Aren't they better than this?" And he's leaving. And someone finally convinces him and says, "Naaman, come on. You've come all this way. Why don't you just humble yourself, swallow your pride, go dip in the dirty old river?" He did it, and he was healed. Humility positions us for blessing. And when we follow Christ in baptism, we walk in humility. The promise is the same to us. Humble yourself in God's sight and he'll raise you up. Second one. Obedience. When we follow Christ in baptism, we act in obedience. Obedience is a big thing to God. He likes it when we obey. Being baptized obeys the command of Jesus. Remember the Great Commission? Or the big deal? Go, make disciples, baptize them. Someone said this about that. The Great Commission is not the great suggestion. I like that. Be baptized. He said to do it. Really? Really, I should just stop right there. Jesus said do it, so that's the end. Jesus told John, permit it to be so. And John tried to talk him out of it, and Jesus said, no, no, no. Do it. I understand your hesitancy, but do this for me. It's important for me to conform to the will of God. It's important for me to do the things that are expected of me. It's important for me to do what my Father wants me to do. He submitted to baptism, and he commanded it of his disciples. If you read the book of Acts, people are getting baptized all the time. Well, people are getting saved all the time. The early church is exploding. And just time after time after time, there's almost an urgency to this that, like the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 people who came to faith that day. 3,000. They said, what should we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized. I'm sorry. He said, yeah, repent and be baptized. Three verses later, those who gladly received his word were baptized. I know a lot can happen in three verses, but it's like, what should we do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, what do we do now? Be baptized. Okay. Philip, and the Ethiopian traveler. Remember that story? There's this guy going back to Ethiopia. He's in a chariot. He's reading the scriptures and not understanding them. God kind of teleports Philip. He's walking beside him and saying, what are you reading? And the guy said, oh, I'm reading this stuff that I don't understand. And Philip says, well, hey, let me jump up and I'll tell you the way it is. Philip jumps up there. He leads him to faith. And the Ethiopian guy says, they went along and he goes, hey, wait a second. There's some water. Why don't we just stop and you can baptize me? Bam, bam. Okay, Paul and Silas are in jail, and they're singing psalms to God. It says they're singing praises to God, and there was an earthquake. God shakes the jail, and the doors fall open, and of course, the jailer is afraid that they've all escaped, and he's going to be responsible, so he's going to kill himself, and Paul and Silas jump up and say, wait a second, we're still here. It's all right. They lead him to faith and his family, and it says immediately he and all his family were baptized. Immediately. 18:8 of Acts, Paul is speaking to the Corinthians. It says, many heard and believed and were baptized. Paul, in 22, 16, Paul is recounting his experience. And after he came to faith, they said, now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Jesus said it like this in John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's pretty easy. When we follow Jesus in baptism, we walk in obedience. It's a big deal. Next one. Identification. When we follow Jesus in baptism, we participate in identification. This is kind of twofold. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He was calling people to prepare for God, right? Jesus comes and he's like, well, I am God. And John says, yeah, we don't need to baptize you because you are God. And Jesus said, well, I may not need to repent, but I need to be baptized. It's fitting. Do it. Do it for me. Permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness, or I need to carry out all that God requires. All the righteousness that is required of us, Jesus said, I need to do that. Why? So that we can have a high priest who knows what it's like to live the life we live. Scripture says it like this. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Everything that you will face, Jesus faced. And when it came to baptism, he didn't want anyone to be able to say, well, why do we have to be baptized? You know how we get? Why do we have to do it? But Jesus did it just so you couldn't do that. It's kind of like that parenting technique where you say, your kids, do this. I said, but you don't do it. You hear kids ever say that to you? And what do you say? Do as I say, not as I do. You don't say that, do you? But you've heard it. Well, Jesus is not one to say, do as I say, not as I do. He says, do as I say and do as I do. Follow me in this. Jesus needed to identify with us, so he did it all. The good news about that is that it allows us to identify with him. It's a two-way street. He definitely has the bad part of that deal. And we have the good part. He knows what we go through, and now we get to apply everything that he went through as though we were the ones who did it. It's a pretty good deal. He identified with us so we could identify with him. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God through him. He identified with us so we could identify with him. He became sin for us so that we could be righteous. He paid the price so we could go free. He died so we could live. All those things. Romans 6, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we should walk in newness of life. In baptism through faith, we participate in his death and burial and resurrection. Chad will probably say this today when he baptizes people. You're standing in the tub of death. You're under the water. You're buried in the grave. You're coming out of the water. You are resurrected into new life. Why? Because Jesus did it for us. He identified with us so we could identify with him. I told you, we get the better end of the deal. Sin is dead and buried. Newness of life is ours. When we follow Jesus in baptism, we participate with him. That's really, really cool. One more. When we follow Jesus in baptism, we get to encounter incredible affirmation. The passage of Scripture, I'll read it to you. The heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I can't even imagine standing there experiencing that. You've got the whole Godhead, the Father speaking, the Holy Spirit descending, Jesus receiving, God saying, this is my Son, well pleased with him. Baptism is a powerful public statement about our conversion and decision to follow Christ. When these people come out of the water, I just want to echo the invitation for y'all to stay, because when the candidates come up out of baptism, this moment is taking place. This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter. And you may not hear it, and you may not see a dove, but all of God is blessed and amazed at the moment. And it's our cue to say, wow, We're so glad you're part of the family. The church is stronger today because of you. We are richer as a local community because of you. The affirmation is important. We raised two daughters. They were raised in church. And they pretty much grew up believing it all. We didn't have to convince them. We didn't have to have this long plan of, you know, warming up to them and gaining their trust and then leading them to Christ. And eventually, I mean, they just kind of grew up. They just believed it. And we would have baptism services at our church, and we had a baptismal up there, but a little bitty water tank, water heater. So Saturday nights, I would go up, and I would drain that hot water tank. And then I'd go home. We lived about 5 minutes away. Then I'd come back when the water was hot again, and I'd drain it. And I'd go home. And I'd come back, and it took about 4 or 5 drains to get halfway full. And by that time, the girls would, then they'd come with me, and they would play in it. I'm sure there were some old-timers who would probably be totally disgusted that we were defiling the baptismal. But they would splash around and play. It was like swimming. And they grew up just thinking, this is a cool little thing. Well, the day came when, and this is why I knew it, being baptized was more meaningful to them than just being in the cool baptism, because they could do that anytime. But the day came when the light came on and they clicked that Jesus was not just the Son of God, not just the Savior of the world, but he was their Savior. And it goes on. You can see it in their eyes. And then they were baptized not long after that. Young people can be baptized. They can understand. I was sprinkled as a kid, Lutheran. Meant absolutely nothing to me because I was, you know, I was this big. But as a young person, you understand what's going on. You can be baptized. And they were, and I got to do it. Their dad, I'd coach him through it. Okay, I'm gonna cover your nose and your mouth. I'll put you down, bring you right back up, cross your heart. And I'd stand there and saying, oh, man, my daughters have sealed their home in heaven. They've gained an everlasting friend and relationship in the Son of God. I get to be their earthly father, but they have a heavenly father who will watch over them from this day forward. And you stand there with your little, and they were little skinny ones, say, oh, man. Scripture says this about an earthly father, that his love, you know, can be a great thing for their children, but how much more their heavenly father? I mean, you can't fathom how much prouder our heavenly father is, how much more that affirmation weighs. I picture God saying, welcome to my family. I'm the father here. You're my son. You're my daughter. These are your brothers and your sisters. You're important to them, and they're important to you. Can you imagine Jesus at this moment? Say, I've been waiting for you. I thought of you when I was being killed on the cross. I thought of you. And here you are. The time has come. Welcome. Then the Holy Spirit shows up and says, listen, still small voice, I'm going to come and live in your heart. I'll always be with you. Whatever you face, I'll be there with you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. This is going to be good. Affirmation. When we follow Jesus and baptize, we encounter holy affirmation. Baptism is important, but following Jesus in it is even more so. We're following him. We're saying, everything that you have, I want. Everything you experienced, I want. Well, there's a verse that a picture in the scripture that talks about being baptized is like being clothed with Christ. Did I say that right? It's kind of thick. Clothed with Christ. We wear stuff that says Levi's, Dockers, whatever. People can see that. And you know what? People can see Christ that you're clothed with also. When you fully give yourself up to him and say, I want it all. Don't leave any portion of me dry. Don't touch any part of my life. Don't fail to heal any part of my heart. Don't stop short in commanding or teaching or leading. I want it all. I want to be clothed with you. Well, that's going to happen for some today. But for the rest of us, I'm done with my notes, and that's not a good thing. Because I like to prepare, I like to be confident, stick to it, and, you know, that's it. But there's something else I have to say. So I'm going to wing it really quick. And that is this. It seems to me, and I could be wrong, but it seems to me like God would say, there are some in our church, in this body, in this sanctuary, that believe all this stuff. And they can see it on the day that they accept Christ. Or they can certainly understand it on the day when you come out of that tub and say, yeah, that's when it happens. And I feel like God is saying, you know what? It is that day, but it's every minute after that day. If you are here and you have a hard time believing that God is still proud of you, or that God still brags on you and says, that's my son, that's my daughter. Because you know what happens? We live life and we do stuff, and life does stuff to us, and we end up getting torn up and dirty or bloody. And it's easy to say, I've punched my ticket, you know, someday. But it's harder to say that, maybe to receive that God still is proud of you. You're still his son. You're still his daughter. The Holy Spirit is still leading you. Jesus is still glad he died for you. So if you're here today and you're struggling with that, you need to receive it right now. I mean, if God's saying that to you, it's your cue to say, I'm following. By faith, I'm going to accept that. I'm going to receive that. I'm going to position myself for blessing. I'm going to walk in humility and obedience, and I'm going to trust that you're going to work that into my life right now. Let me pray for you. We'll close. Heavenly Father, you are good to us. You are good to us. And we love you. God, we do. You don't leave any of us out. And there's nothing that you're not concerned about. And God, today we just want to be those that say, God, baptize us afresh right now. Dip us into Jesus. Cleanse us by his blood. God, renew our strength. Renew our faith. Give us a vision of new life every day. God, do that work in us. We receive it. Jesus, thank you for all that you did. Thank you for the price that you paid so that we can just say, yeah, what he did. We'll take what he did. We'll take what he accomplished. And we receive that today. We receive it now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Very, very timely, very good word today, Pastor Jeff. I don't know about you, but I feel like getting baptized again, right? And I know theologically I don't need to, but I feel like I want to. So thank you for sharing your heart. Thank you for sharing wisdom from God's word about what it means to be baptized into Christ. Right now I'd like to ask everyone to just kind of stand with me as we respond in faith to the stirring of our hearts. To the stirring of our hearts. And we're going to pray the prayer that we've been talking about in this series for the last month or so, about what it means to be in Christ, what it means to live out the faith of Christ in today's here and now world. So let's pray it, whether it's your first time or your 50th time, let's pray it like it's our first. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, if God's doing something good in your heart, can you give him an applause this morning? Father, you are good and you are faithful. Yeah, amen, amen, amen. Hey, as always, we have a prayer team available if you'd like prayer for any need in your life. We would love to pray with you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, or today is the day of your baptism, of you saying, yes, I want to receive this gift that Jesus is, we'd love to meet you after the service. I've got a gift that'll help you get started in that journey with him. Otherwise, God bless you guys. Thank you for being here at North Rock Church. Go get something to eat, get some coffee. Come on back and we'll baptize a whole bunch of new followers in Christ, okay? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.